What we have in mind now is to do Dave and Darren's top five things for you. It's a podcast, a review of some of the highlights of our award-winning morning show. I don't know. Actually, now that I think about it, I don't know that this incarnation's won any awards. How have we not won any awards? Somebody nominate us for an award, please. Desperate for that approval, for that validation. You're listening to the Top 5 Things podcast. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren.
The podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They've got two locations, one in Milan, one in Galesburg. Now, both of those are open 7 days a week. That makes it nice and convenient. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, edibles, and so much more. Sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Is Christmas like the only day that they're closed?
Could
Does that sound right?
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Do some Christmas shopping.
Exactly. All right. I guess we'll just go into number one.
For
here.
Yourself.
Number one.
You and I think it's safe to say, not spending a lot of time watching dating shows on television.
If I did, which one should I watch?
Well, I have got a new one. It's not available here in the United States yet. We were very excited for F-Boy Island. You remember that this summer? We thought that was going to be a big hit with, what's her name, Nikki Glaser? And I think that premiered, and I'll be honest, I haven't watched a second of it. There's The Bachelorette, right? That's a big hit. There, and then The Bachelor, right? That's kind of one is a spinoff of the other, right? You've got Love Island.
Temptation Island?
That was a thing. My wife would watch that Love Island this over the summer, and every once in a while I'd come in the room when it was on, and it was something else.
Softcore or hardcore?
I just don't understand. No, it's on CBS, Darren.
I understand, but still.
Yeah, it's strange. And they would do things too where I'm sure I'm a pest when I come in and ask questions, because I don't really want to sit down and invest any time in it, because I don't really care. But then I find myself getting caught up like, well, wait a minute. She's new to the island. What's her story? And then my wife has to give me a little recap. And then they'll vote people off the island, but then they'll put new people on the island. Like they replace the babes with new babes, or the hunks with new hunks. That's the twist of Love Island, you see. But
always
this,
bringing in fresh meat.
Exactly. This new dating show, big in England, and I have to assume it'll be here in the States.
Or some version of it.
Probably, yeah, they'll do an American version of this, I guarantee. It's new on Channel 4 over there in England. The show is called The Love Trap. And it's a little bit different from your regular dating show. The Love Trap, the gimmick is this. You've got people getting eliminated. You get a lonely heart, right? Like a bachelor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there are 12 women who are competing to win the affections of the eligible bachelor. The twist is, of the 12 women who are going after David, mm-hmm. half of them are already in relationships and are only in it for the money. And it's
now,
up
and
to
he
the,
knows that?
Yes, he knows that going in. It's up to him to figure out who amongst the 12 women are actually interested in him.
Well,
and who are the love traps that are in relationships that are just trying to get a couple of bucks.
Is he allowed to convert a love trap?
Well, yeah. I mean, that would be interesting if someone were to fall in love with him.
It's like I was one of the traps, but
I don't think that's...
I can't quit you.
I don't think that's how it works. I don't think that the love traps are allowed to actually fall in love with David here. I think you have a role and you have to play.
Now, what
it.
They should have,
yeah.
and maybe they do,
uh-huh.
is they have a little bit of a behind-the scenes thing where the person that they're actually with is backstage watching.
What do you mean?
Like a love trap, their partner.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So she's on the show. She's got a husband.
Yeah.
She's on the show to try and get money for the husband and her.
And he's
backstage watching the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or,
and they both have earpieces.
Yeah.
It's like, do this.
Try this. You know how much I like that.
Try this.
Here's what makes the Love Trap different. Because I don't think, as I've presented it, it's all that different from your conventional dating shows. Here's what
makes it. Except you've got moles.
Right. I mean, there's
love traps.
There's that. It's called the love trap because the women are themselves love traps, but also because when it comes time for him to determine who the love traps are, these women are standing on trap doors. Take a look at this.
This is right out of Ellen.
Who do you think
is a love trap?
Is a love trap.
Now he's got to sit and think about it. David's got to look at these beautiful women and decide which one is just in it for the money.
And how far will they fall?
Who is the love trap?
I think it's the one on the right. That one. Although that one.
Sure.
Oh!
And she's just condemned to the shadow regions now.
How far did she fall?
I don't know. It looks like she's dead.
It's like 10 stories. Oh, she took it well.
She took it like a champ.
His eyes lit up.
Yep. They're standing on trap doors, and the trap door just opens, and she disappears.
Now, does that mean he was right?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean,
I'm not sure what it proved.
What did it prove? I mean, does that door only open if he's right? Or is it just like, whoever I pick is going to fall 10 stories?
If he's wrong, she falls into a gator pit.
Yeah.
If he's right, she falls into pillows, into the arms of her partner.
What did we figure out there?
I don't know. I don't know that it's about figuring out anything other than just watching these women fall through trapdoors.
Do they get slimed?
It does sort of have a double dare feel to it. It's a great point.
I don't know that I understand the game. Was whoever he named going to fall?
Somebody says here, the love trap is a little trap door where you can break your pelvis. Yeah, I don't know what that proved.
Yeah, I don't know that it proved anything.
Other than sending a woman through a trap door. I don't know if he was right or wrong. I know that Cherie is no longer on the show.
I don't know if she's with us in general.
She might be gone. You win 20,000 pounds if you're able to trick this guy into falling in love with you. Which doesn't seem like a ton of money.
20,000 pounds.
Yeah. That's better than nothing, but... And then what do you split that with your partner, or is that your money because you earned it? How does that work? Yeah, we bought this car because I tricked a fella to fall in love with me. And not have me go through a trap
door. I see you guys got a new car. Yeah. You know how we paid for it? Well, I figure you just have savings of some sort. It's not necessary you tell me. Oh, I think it is.
So the whole point of the show is...
I went whoring around on TV.
You're just waiting. It's got all of the dating show tropes.
All the trappings, if you'll have it.
You know what would be better, I think? Quicksand.
I like that.
What if they were standing on quicksand? And they're all falling in quicksand, and then at the last minute, he gets to pick one to save.
Or guillotines. Wrong. You were wrong. Boy.
Welcome to Head Over Heels, the dating show where we behead women.
Yeah, the French dating show. Well, everyone's
welcome to how you say head over heels. Oh. The other women don't know who the love trap is, so they don't converse with each other. And even the host of the show
doesn't know
who is a love trap
so
and who is
the fact that she did fall down, that indicates to everyone that she was the love trap.
No, it just says you find out after they've been eliminated. So she goes into a...
wasn't necessarily a love trap.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe she was. Maybe she wasn't. I can tell you this. She's gone. It's like she never existed.
There's no record of her. I'm just wiped clean, bleached.
Yeah, you have to bring your dental records
when
you... When you agree to be on the show.
But it's worth it.
They
for
are
20,000 pounds.
Number two.
There's a bar in West Peoria that has made international news. Somebody over the weekend stole a bust of Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll. This was at Jimmy's Bar in West Peoria. Sometime, they say, between Saturday afternoon and Sunday morning. Somebody walked off with this bust of Elvis Presley. Jimmy Spears is the owner of the bar. He's owned it for 39 years. And he says the heist didn't take much planning or work because he's never bothered to bolt down the Elvis bust that he bought years ago at a garage sale for $20.
Uh-huh.
He thought it was something that, why bolt it down? No one's going to steal it. Who would want this thing? It's a pretty cool looking bust, actually.
Sure.
Of the king. Looks a lot like a young Buddy Ebsen, frankly.
Because of the silver paint?
Yeah, and the face. Uh-huh. I don't know. I don't know. There were any suspects that they rounded up?
Well, no. I mean, that would be a prime suspect if he was ever in Peoria.
Jimmy says to walk off with it took some guts. It's worth pointing out that he wanted the press to know that he's not really a big Elvis fan. The bust has sentimental value. When a customer accidentally knocked it to the floor, a regular was able to glue Elvis's nose back on.
Let's take a look at Elvis again. Does it look like his nose is...
Yeah, his nose got kind of knocked off a little bit, but it looks good. They did a good job restoring the nose on this silver bust of the king. So they went on Facebook and they said, Elvis has left the building. Please bring him back, whoever took him. No questions asked.
Oh, I don't see that happening.
I have an update.
Yeah?
Somebody brought it back.
Ah.
The bust returned. Employees found it sitting on a porch outside of Jimmy's bar.
Sitting on a park bench.
Jimmy's saying, he's back. They made their appeal, no questions asked, and somebody decided, okay, the right thing to do is to bring it back.
And I don't want this. I don't want this stupid thing.
You know, you make decisions sometimes when you've had a couple of drinks.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute.
I don't know what what am I going to do with this Buddy Ebsen looking king of rock and roll? They were thrilled. He's back. So now the case of the missing Elvis bust has been solved. And I don't know. I would probably bolt that thing down. Figure out a way to make it so he's a little bit harder to take.
At least some super glue.
Right? New subreddit I've been spending a lot of time on where people get things off of their chest. This is not the subreddit where people wonder if they're in the wrong.
Uh-huh.
But they've done something and they feel like confessing it to the ether.
I gotta tell somebody.
Exactly. True stories that people feel the need to share on the internet and get off their chest. I could see the appeal of this. This guy writes, 6 years ago, I switched my wife's cat with a more well-behaved lookalike.
So he's going back to 6 years ago.
Six years ago, I swapped my then-girlfriend, now-wife's cat with a more well-behaved lookalike. She had an all-black cat that was extremely aggressive. Mm. It scratched everyone. It hissed at everyone, and it didn't use its litter box half of the time.
Mm-hmm.
My wife insisted she could get it to behave better.
I'll do it.
One week she went out of town to visit her family, and I was supposed to go to her apartment and take care of the cat and feed it.
Yeah.
First night I went over, this thing scratched the hell out of my arm. I joked to the cat that it's not special, and I'd replace it if it scratched me again. And that joke stuck with me until I thought about it enough that the joke wasn't a joke. The next morning, I went to the local animal shelter, found an identical cat who was already litter box trained and acclimated to people, but it was a little skittish. Its old owner died of a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
And the animal shelter people said they thought that's why it was skittish. But overall, it was a lot friendlier and better behaved. And the skittishness would actually help it resemble the original cat. So I adopted that cat, took it to my wife's apartment, settled it in, and then drove her original cat to a no-kill shelter in the next town over. I was paranoid that she would find out if I took it to the local shelter. It's been 6 years since then. We got married 4 years ago. We still have the swap cat. It answers to the original cat's name, and my wife knows nothing. She loves the cat and also loves to brag about how much better behaved it is. Every time I see the cat, I feel like a piece of garbage. Getting that off your chest. Kind of brilliant.
Well, except for the idea of her finding out about it now.
Well, that's only, I guess, if she knows that you're on Reddit, right? I wouldn't let your wife know that you're on Reddit, man. I wonder what he said to say on Reddit. Gary, what's this? 6 years ago, I switched my wife's cat with a more well-behaved look-alike. Oh, man, that's messed up.
Well, the thing is, now everyone listening, anyone who's got a black cat.
Yeah.
They're going to be suspicious.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Here with his opinion on this story. I was hoping we could get him for the last story, but we were having some issues. Here now to tell us about the black cat story.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest needs no introduction.
Wait a minute.
It's the ghost of Elvis Presley.
Lord Almighty, feel my temperature rising.
Now, I understand.
Tell you what, man, that's messed up.
I understand you wanting to chime in on our last story. That makes all the sense in the world.
Man, I wasn't able to hear. What were you guys talking about? What were you guys talking about?
Someone might have taken a statue of you.
Oh, you talking about that thing in Peoria?
Yeah, West Peoria.
Yeah, man. No, that was a friend of mine. I didn't care for my bust being in that bar, man. King of rock and roll, I don't need my bust up in some bar.
But they returned it.
They did what now?
They returned it, so it is back,
man,
in
that
bar.
Wasn't the play, man, that wasn't the play. I'm disappointed. You tell me they put the bus back in that stinky bar in Peoria?
Yeah, West Peoria.
What did I say?
Did you ever play Peoria?
No, man. You kidding me, Peoria? No, man.
All right, so then what's your take on this black cat story?
Man, I think that's right on, man.
That's the sort of thing you would do?
Here's the thing. One time, Priscilla had an elephant. It was not house trained. And I had it swapped out, man, for a ferret. She didn't know the difference. Priscilla was real dumb, man.
I guess I never knew whether you had any pets or not. Did you have a lot of pets? Dogs
and
cats?
I had a fish that I called Elvis.
Yeah. Yeah, what were your pets' names?
I had a goldfish.
Yeah.
And I called him Little Elvis. And what I would do is, man, I would, instead of feeding him flakes, they gave me flakes, man. I was like,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, fish food.
Yeah, man, no. I would just give him pills. I just put, like, Percocets at the top of the water. Little Elvis kept eating him. He'd get real sleepy. And I'd say, look at him. Just like his papa.
You were sleepy?
Oh, yeah, man, I had a bunch of pills, too. Man.
Yeah, I know you did.
And then the fish died, and I flushed him down the toilet, and that gave me an idea for how I should go out.
Yeah, I guess you did.
Oh, man, I died on the toilet, man. Not a lot of people know that.
Yeah, I suppose if you'd had a bigger toilet, they could have flushed you down the toilet.
Everyone knows that you died on the toilet.
Wait a minute, what, that got out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, you should see my face right now. I'm so embarrassed. People know that I died taking a dump?
Yeah, you were packed full of white waste.
Oh, man, I had some stuff in me, man. I couldn't get it out. I kept struggling.
Yeah.
Struggling to get that feces out of my rectum, man.
Straining.
We know how this works.
Oh, man, I didn't know they all knew that I died out of
Yeah, that's the first thing we heard.
Oh, man, am I ever embarrassed. Oh, but man. For real, people know that I died out of the toilet?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think they found you by the side of the toilet, but.
Wait a minute, you mean I fell off the toilet?
Yeah, you fell off the toilet.
Oh, man, I'm learning a lot here, man.
So I'm surprised you didn't know that.
Well, no, man, we don't get the papers up here, man. I got to heaven and these freaks, man, these freak angels, man. I don't want to put anybody down for what they do.
But
these angels, man.
Touching your stuff.
And they said I was found on the toilet.
No, on the side of the toilet.
The what now?
By the side of the toilet.
Oh, man, I thought I stuck the landing, man.
Yeah.
So I didn't do what I wanted to do, and then everybody found out other way.
That's right.
Man.
Yeah, they were all upset.
Well, this is a bummer. Well, this is a bummer. You've bummed out the king of rock and roll.
Well, that wasn't our intention. I hope you're not bummed out for eternity.
Well, I mean, that's not kind of how it works, man. can't even steal a bus, man.
You can't even pretend that you stuck the landing now.
Oh, man. You guys have ruined my Thursday, man. So what else is going on down there, man?
That's basically it.
I'd love to just be on the whole show with you. Have my comments on what you guys are talking about. All the crazy things that happen in the news.
Well, we could do that. We got another 25 minutes.
No, this has been more than enough.
Then we can, we're on again tomorrow.
Now you guys say they're eating tacos in space.
Oh, you heard that.
Yeah, man, I listen all the time.
See, now
man.
You're actually closer to space than you are to Earth, aren't you?
I guess I never really thought about it that way, but that's the truth.
Although your body's on Earth.
Right.
So you're kind of like you have two homes.
Right. My corporal body is in the ground on Earth, man. But my essence, man, my spirit, my soul, man, it's up here in heaven, baby. I've been taking karate lessons with Bruce Lee.
How's that going?
Kicks my ass, man.
Every time, man.
I say, hey, man, how about you let me kick your...
Now, didn't you start karate just to kind of try to impress Priscilla?
Yeah, man, I did.
Because she was...
I wanted to impress her, man. I wanted to be a kung fu master. And,
Did you ever watch Kung Fu?
The
TV show?
David Carradine?
Yeah.
Man, I was shot my TV when that thing was on. Drove me crazy.
Well, that was on for a few years. You must have went through a lot of TVs.
Went through a lot of TVs. Yeah, man. Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to let you guys go.
Thanks, E.
Yeah, it would have been great if you let us go a couple of minutes ago.
All right, I'll remember that next time. I'll try and wrap this up a little quicker. What else is going on?
No, that's it.
That's enough. That's enough, Elvis. Thanks.
Number three.
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 How are your Reaper peppers doing?
Fantastic.
Did you... You did bring them in the house, right?
Yes.
Because...
Yeah, we finally clipped a few of them, and they're infused in olive oil.
Interesting. Would you be interested in trying space peppers? The International Space Station apparently had a taco bash for all the astronauts up there, and they celebrated the harvest of the first chili peppers grown in space.
Sure.
The crew finally had a chance to taste test the peppers after kicking off the plant experiment on the space station in July. Plant Habitat 04 is a plant experiment on the orbiting lab. The peppers take much longer to grow than the previous plants they've tried up there. They've done lettuce. They've done different, like, zinnias. They've tried a couple of radishes. These peppers grew for 4 months. They were harvested on Friday. Then they were sanitized before the crew settled in to taste some of the red and green chili peppers grown in space. They also took surveys about the flavor and the texture.
Boy, you would think that eating a taco... with no gravity.
Yeah. Well, look at...
Would be...
Here's one of the astronauts. That's a picture of NASA astronaut Megan MacArthur. A taco just floating in zero gravity up there.
Yeah, but you would think everything else would just float out, but it's hanging in there together, isn't it?
It is. Best space tacos yet. That's what one of the reviews says. It's fajita beef, rehydrated tomatoes, and artichokes, and then the hatch chili that they grew up there in space. Some of the peppers will be sent back to Earth for analysis, and they will continue to grow chili pepper plants on the space station.
Wouldn't you think everything would just come flying out of that shell?
It comes flying out of the shell when I try to eat a taco on planet Earth.
I know it.
I have yet to eat a taco that I don't at some point wear. In my lap, on my shirt, on the floor. So to do it in zero gravity, completely beyond me. How that even would work.
Yeah, it'd be a lot easier to eat a donut than a taco.
Even a donut would be problematic. I should think with all the crumbs, right? How would that work? By the way, the astronaut that was in charge of growing the chili peppers played the chili peppers to, like, you know how plants do better with music?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that from your fourth grade science fair experiment? Played chili peppers music to the chilies as they grew in space.
That's all he played?
Like a playlist of just nothing but the greatest hits of the chili peppers?
I guess it doesn't matter which artist it is. If that's all you play, if there's no variety.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that...
I
would think Flea's bass would really really add to the flavor of your peppers grown in zero gravity.
Wasn't it determined that Jamiroquai was good for plants?
Was that determined? I could see that. Like plants that you eat or flowers?
Plants that you eat, I think. Or even flowers.
I think Jamiroquai is good for all living creatures, frankly. Best space tacos ever.
Well, I can't really have an opinion about that.
Well, the people who would know that are floating above our heads are telling us that they really enjoyed the space tacos.
Kind of rubbing it in that we don't work in space.
Mars ain't no place to eat a taco. In fact, it's cold as hell.
Sounds like you're kind of taking a shot at all of us here on Earth.
Well, you dummies are down there eating what? Peppers you throw in the ground?
Earth tacos? Ugh. Oh, boy.
I could never eat an earth taco again. I guarantee that's what these astronauts are like every time they have tacos now for the rest of their lives. This taco's good, but you know the best taco I ever had?
In space.
When I was in space!
You say that about every food item.
As we've heard. We've heard about the space tacos, Frank.
We heard about you being in space.
This taco's okay, I guess. Nothing like the tacos we had when I was living on the International Space Station, though. Yeah, we would flavor the tacos with space chilies. I just don't understand how. I'm looking at the...
How is that not floating out of there?
At the taco, and there's so many different components in there, you would think it would all just fall apart. It's being held together.
Go its own way.
By something, right? Rehydrated tomatoes and artichokes. Could you get your hands on a rehydrated tomato here on Earth, or is that just for?
Well, sure. You've got sun-dried tomatoes.
Oh, I guess
then you just.
But you rehydrate it?
Well, yeah, you could.
Tacos said to be out of this world.
Get it?
Uh huh.
Everything on the space station. Oh, that was out of this world.
One of the astronauts was saying it could do with some chicken. Like, they got to get a poultry farm up on the space
station. Yeah, that's what we need.
Space chickens.
Chicken make a lousy space station pet.
I tell you, chicken make a lousy astronaut. Just up there pecking at all the buttons.
Got his little astronaut suit on. Chicken make a lousy astronaut.
You ridiculous space chicken. Chicken lays an egg and space just comes flying out of them, and then you got a floating egg in space? No thanks. Keep the chickens on planet Earth. I'm not okay with space chickens. You guys have your fun with your space tacos. That I get. But at some point, there's got to be limits.
Yeah. Space chickens are out of the question. That's...
You're tampering in God's domain once you start putting chickens in space. They put dogs in space. They put mice in space. They've put monkeys in space. They've never shot a bird up there, have they? Have they ever put like a turkey in space?
Vulture.
Like when they were testing. When they were testing these. Oh, here's video of pigeons in space. This can't be real. Did they send pigeons up there? This doesn't seem like it's responsible. They sure did. Oh, the pigeons can't fly. They don't know what they're doing.
That looks like just like one of those training planes.
Yeah, this isn't like they put them in like one of those vomit comets. This looks like it's from the 50s or the 60s.
Yeah.
These pigeons are trying to fly around in zero gravity, and they are confused.
And by the smiles on the Russians' faces, this leads me to believe that this doesn't have any sort of scientific significance at all, other than just screwing with pigeons.
Pigeons have had it too good for too long. It
looks like a Russian joyride to me.
Birds cannot fly in space. Birds have...
Big old smile on their face.
It doesn't take... NASA will not take birds to space because birds have a tremendous amount of control while they're flying in the space station if they use their wings and tails. And they would have to make serious adjustments to compensate for their weightlessness.
Yeah.
Birds...
don't do well.
Cannot...
Again, as we said, chicken make a lousy astronaut.
They sent monkeys. NASA sent Albert the First, Albert the Second, Albert the Third, and Albert the Fourth into space to monitor instruments. Worth pointing out that all of those monkeys...
they don't fly.
Yeah, that was a one-way trip. The monkeys didn't come back. The dog that the Russians sent up for Sputnik, that dog didn't make it up back either. Like... that dog was a hero.
You mean they were testing for Sputnik?
No, actual Sputnik. That dog...
why would you attach a dog to a satellite?
Well, just, you know, put a living creature in space. It's 1957. That's a big deal. So the dog was named Laika. And Laika didn't make it back. It was a stray dog. They made that dog a hero. I mean, he was a hero of the Soviet Union. But he didn't. He didn't.
Who wants to be that?
It's not great. No. No, you get the bad news is you're not going to make it back from space. But the good news is you're going to be on like postage stamps and propaganda posters. So there's that. These astronauts are cost. You think those are Russians? I don't think those are Russians. Maybe it is. They're having a heck of a time with these pigeons in space. Just delighted watching these pigeons try and figure out zero G.
Struggling.
That's terrible. Number four. When our event got canceled over the weekend, that opened up my calendar, and my wife and I went up to Bellevue. There's a brewery up there called River Ridge. It's right on the river. Really good beer, an incredible location. Had a blast. But we were outside right on the river and went indoors because the bees. Oh, my God, the bees. They were everywhere.
Well, that must have been a Saturday thing because the same thing happened to the new squirrel.
Right. Stutsky was telling us yesterday that for some reason bees were all over him in his weather squirrel outfit out at Niobe Zoo. I guess, you know.
It's really more of a weather squirrel mask than anything.
You're underwhelmed with his costume.
Well,
huh?
I don't know that we should let him get away with calling it a weather squirrel suit.
I think we only saw half of it. I think he
only put on the head.
We'll find out when we have him on at 8, but I think that he was wearing like a coat and other stuff. I have a feeling that there's a lot more to that costume than we were led to believe by the pictures that they shared at the Boo at the Zoo event. Because that can't be the entire costume.
Well, It's a hat. Or it's not even a...
Bees must know that,
it looks like something you might wear when you go swimming.
It's like... right. Or it looks like something...
It's a swim cap, right, is what it is.
Your mom puts that on after she gets her perm.
Yeah, right.
What are you doing? I can't get my hair wet. Bees, this time of year, have to know, like, it's coming to an end here
crunch
pretty quick.
Crunch
time. Yeah, right. I mean, when it's in the 20s, it's not great to be a bee, I imagine. They do better in the warmer climates. There was a story earlier this year, a guy in Arizona was killed by a bee attack. That happened this summer. A guy got stung hundreds of times, and he was killed. Two other people required hospitalization. Stung hundreds of times by swarming bees in Tucson, Arizona. That was earlier this summer. And yeah, the one guy died as a result of being attacked by a bee swarm.
I always knew it would be a swarm. Ever since I saw Swarm.
Most Arizona swarms involve Africanized honeybees, which is a cross between African and European bees. Erroneously known as killer bees.
Oh, swarms. They make beautiful children.
No, thanks. No, thanks. Yeah, the swarm, that's what'll get you. They say the chances of running into a wild honeybee in the desert southwest is higher than other parts of the country. So we don't have to worry about that here. In Brazil, there's a story of a guy who is getting attacked by bees. This is in the Brasilândia de Minas. This happened over the weekend. 30-year-old man in Brazil, out fishing with friends, when he gets attacked by bees. So he jumps into the lake to escape the bees, which I think is a smart move. The problem is, this is Brazil, and he gets eaten by piranhas.
Yeah.
No, thanks. Firefighter who performed a rescue said that the piranhas went after his face and other parts of his body. And his body was found about 12 feet from the shore.
There was a guy that I worked with the River Bandits.
Yeah.
He was from New York.
Okay.
He had never seen a tornado. He wanted to see a tornado. Mm-hmm. And he also had an escape plan if there was a tornado.
At Modern Woodman Park?
Yes. His plan was to jump into the river. He was going to escape the tornado by going underwater.
Okay. Just holding his breath and riding the storm out?
So swim to the other side? I don't know what.
That would be interesting. That river gets a little choppy during tornadic activity, don't you find? They say they don't know whether the piranha attack came before or after the guy died. So it's possible he died from the bee stings or died when he hit the water. But they do know this.
Well, I mean, was the flesh stripped from his bones?
It sure was.
Yeah, I'd go with the piranhas.
His friends also jumped into the water, but they managed to swim to safety. So the piranhas just cued in on this guy. And now he is quite deceased. So the good news is you escape the bees. The bad news is now the piranhas, they'll take what's left over. What the bees didn't get, Senior Piranha will consume.
That's quite a 1-2 punch.
No, yeah, right. No, that doesn't seem fair. Like, you should, if you're nature and you're trying to kill me, you should get, like, one chance to do it. Like, in the space of a 24-hour period. Like, if you were attacked by bees and then a year later consumed by piranhas, I get that. But in the same afternoon? That doesn't seem fair.
Five.
Number five.
Lottery officials in South Carolina say a record 1,400 people won the pick four because the winning numbers were 7777. The midday pick four drawing yesterday, the first time ever 7777 has come up in the game. And there were 1,400 people that purchased that number combination. The number of winners, 6 times the number from the previous day's drawing.
And so that scored you what?
Well, a top prize is either $2,500 or $5,000, depending on the amount you paid for your tickets. They got to pay out $3.5 million in prize money. So you either get $2,500 or $5,000 for picking the number 7 4 times.
So don't play those numbers.
Well, yeah, it had never come up before, right?
Yeah. And if they do come up.
Yeah, right. There's a story of a Maryland man who just won a $2 million scratch-off ticket, and it's the second time he's done that. A retired utility worker in Baltimore.
You're darn right I'm retired.
He did a $2 million scratch-off and won. This is the second time he's won $2 million on a scratch-off. A series of morning errands took him past his favorite lottery retailers. He chose the $2 million richer scratch-offs, went back to his vehicle to go scratch them off. These are $30 tickets, by the way. A $30 lottery ticket.
Wow.
That you scratch off. On the first ticket, he uncovered a $100 prize. He then scratched a second instant ticket, revealing the winning numbers on a gold bar emblem over the $2 million prize. He then took the winning ticket home and put it in a safe, waiting until the very almost last day to claim his prize because of the COVID-19 pandemic. He says, I was just a bit nervous. I worried I could have a fire at home that would burn up the ticket or that the ticket's expiration date might come up. I even had a bit of doubt that the whole thing was real. It seems weird.
Is this real?
It seems weird you would have a hard time believing you won a $2 million lottery ticket when you've already done that.
No, it's very believable.
His last $2 million win was several years ago. He says he's going to put this $2 million prize toward a family vacation and financing his retirement. Well, you're already retired. I guess this will just make retirement a little bit easier, yeah? He will also do some home improvements. He says, be realistic and make sure when you play, you aren't just playing for the big jackpot. Play for enjoyment. And as long as you enjoy what you're doing, win or lose, you've already won.
No.
That's easy to say. You've won $4 million in scratch-off tickets. Plus $100 that we know about. This scratch-off ticket has been available since 2019, offering players a chance to win prizes from $30 to $50,000, and there are 6 top prizes of $2 million. The last date to claim the prize was Monday. And the store where he bought the ticket gets a $2,000 bonus from the lottery. There you go, a little something for you. But yeah. Twice he's won $2 million, and the second time he won, it was almost harder for him to believe than the first time.
Believe it.
I don't know that this is real. I find this next story uniquely satisfying. It's somebody winning a lottery prize, and I don't take any satisfaction in somebody winning $500,000. I mean, I guess that's great for them. But what really, for me, cinches it is the manner in which they won the prize. This happened in Michigan. Woman's at a store at a Marathon gas station in Mount Morris, Michigan.
Gotcha.
She's there and wasn't really even thinking about playing the lottery. But there was another woman there in the store just bitching and moaning about how she had played this specific scratch-off game and hadn't won anything. 65-year-old woman from Genesee County in Michigan told the Michigan lottery officials she was there at the gas station when she overheard this other customer complain about the lottery game.
When am I going to win? This is a ripoff.
I was in line at the gas station and heard the person ahead of me complain that they bought a few $500 fever tickets and didn't win anything. When I got to the counter, I asked the clerk to give me the next ticket on the roll.
And they cost how much?
Well, they're $500 fever tickets. They don't cost $500. It's a $5 scratch off.
Okay, $5.
I bought a bunch of those $5 scratch offs.
And I got nothing.
I didn't win a damn thing. Hey, give me one of those. Woman says she wasted no time scratching the ticket.
And you don't have to ask for the next one. That's yeah, that's what you're going
to
get.
That's what they have to give you.
That's what they kind
of... Give me one 12 deep. Give me what we call a wet one.
You're not at the meat case. You know.
What else can I get you? The woman wasted no time scratching the ticket right there. Right there at the counter.
Before the other woman could leave?
Yep. I scratched the barcode, scanned it, and got a cannot process message. I scratched the rest of the ticket, thinking maybe I won a little bit of money.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe when I saw I won $500,000.
Winner!
I knew what I was seeing, but I didn't want to get too excited until I called the lottery and confirmed everything.
Oh, so you didn't stick it in her face.
Take that! What you wanted, I have. There's nothing you can possess that I cannot take away, Dr. Jones. She says this 500 grand, she's, again, 65 years old, this $500,000 will allow her to retire and then make some investments. How about that? I just played all of these tickets and I didn't win anything. Well, that must mean that there's a winner coming up next. Give me the next ticket there on the roll.
Yeah, that's what we do.
That's how this process works. Here's what I'd like. I'd like a ticket 37 deep in the roll. Can you make that happen for me?
No, the one
I'd
over
like
there.
I'd like to make a Met. No, not that one. No, not that one. Keep going. Not that one.
You're not picking out pork chops.
But she ended up going to the lottery headquarters to go get her prize. Players have won more than $27 million playing this $500 fever scratch-off, which just launched in August of last year. Prizes range from $5 to $500,000. They say more than $3 million in prizes remain. I haven't won a damn thing!
Give me the next one.
It's great.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast.
It was, and it was brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Their goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. Their experienced wellness consultants will sit down with you and discuss what options might work best to make you feel more comfortable. Frequently asked questions are answered if you want to take a look at that, and that's at the website, ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to give you another one of these Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcasts, thanks for downloading this one, subscribing, leaving reviews, and most importantly, listening. Thanks for all of that. Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hey, stick a fork in me. I am done.